I want us to look at Simon Peter tonight, one of the 12 apostles that I can more easily identify with. I have a little trouble identifying with John, but Peter is a horse of another color. Sometimes, you know, Simon Peter would say things that he ought not to say. But a few times, he said the right thing at the right time. For example, at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked, "Whom do ye say that I am?" it was Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the right thing to say. And in John 6, toward the end of the chapter 68 and 9, others had gone back and followed Jesus no more. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Will you go away also?" And it was Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And then another time he said the right thing was in Acts 4:12, when he said, "There is salvation in none other name, only the name of Jesus, only them." So he did say the right thing sometimes, at three important times. But tonight I want us to look at the time when he did the wrong thing. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. This is the story of the downfall of Simon Peter. And let's bear in mind, no one ever gets too big or too mighty that the devil can't trip you and put you down in a spiritual defeat. So let's look at it beginning in verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted," that is, you've not saved, he's already saved, but a change in his spiritual development, "strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him," Peter did, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." What a boast. "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Now slide down to verse 54. "They took him," Jesus, "and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter," who said, "They may kill me," Peter followed afar off. "And when they had kindled a fire in the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him," with Jesus. "And he," Peter, "denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, This fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now let's pray. Father, we've read a passage about a great man who later became a mighty powerful servant, and yet he stumbled and fell. And I pray as we think about that tonight and look at his life's development through this fall, that we'll bear in mind that we too need to be careful, because Satan does desire to have us. that he might ruin our testimony and wreck our life. And help us to be faithful and to be a servant of yours that can go all the way to the end when you call us home. In fullness to Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Simon Peter stumbled and fell. It's easy to sit in judgment on brothers or sisters that stumble and fall. And sometimes we don't even know what's really in their heart. For example, I think about Lot from the Old Testament. When you read about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you get the impression this man doesn't know the Lord? He must not be a believer. He must not be on his way to heaven. That's kind of a feeling that you get sometime when you read about Lot in the Old Testament. And I was shocked one day as a young Christian when in reading through the New Testament, I came to a passage in 2 Peter. And did you know what it said? It said there in Sodom that Lot, righteous soul, was vexed. And suddenly I stopped. Lord, do you mean he had a righteous soul? I never guessed it. And you and I would never guess it also, what's going on in some people's lives. But believers, Christians, people who know the Lord and love the Lord, can be tripped up by the devil and they can fall. And Peter never thought that would happen to him. At Caesarea Philippi, he was convinced beyond a doubt, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he's going to deny it. He never thought that would happen to him. And another thing about Peter's stumble and Peter's spiritual fall, as you go through this passage of Scripture, you'll see that he drifted away gradually. It's not something that just all of a sudden happened, but it's a gradual drift as he went away from the Lord. Now, why did Peter spiritually fall on his face? Why did he do that? All right, let's think about it. One reason is, and you'll see that in the verses 31 to 34. Peter's fall was result of too much confidence. You either think you fall, the Bible says, either think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And here's Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, now, Satan has desired to have you, and I prayed for you. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And Simon Peter goes on and elaborately begins to talk about how it doesn't matter. They may kill me, but I'll be faithful. In essence, I'll serve you. I'll be true. And nevertheless, in his boastfulness, it didn't hold up. When the test came, we can well be aware that we may have good intentions. We may want to be the best Christian in the world, but the devil is out to get us. Just as Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, so also he is saying to you and to me, Satan has desired to have you also. One of the great delights of the devil is to bring a Christian down to ruin that Christian's testimony. For 67 years, I've been preaching the gospel. And I can look back over those years, and I see a lot of spiritual skeletons by the roadside. Men and women that I thought highly of, but nevertheless, there was a day when the devil defeated them and left them wounded and bleeding by the side of the road. Bear in mind, he's after all of us. He didn't like any of us. And he would love to ruin our testimony. It is in Proverbs 29, you have that verse that says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty look before the fall. We need to have a humble spirit before the Lord. That could be me. That could be you. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're not sufficient for these things by ourselves, but the Lord is our sufficiency. Simon Peter stumbled and fell because he had too much self-confidence. Then there's another factor that's involved in his stumble, and that was prayerlessness. It is in this same context that Jesus took Peter and James and John and went out to pray. He left them a little bit behind himself and went a little farther out, told them to tarry there and pray while he went. And Jesus prayed, and he came back, and they were asleep. Prayerlessness. Now, prayer is an important part of our personal Christian life. That's where we get some strength, in personal prayer. One person told me one time, the only time I ever heard my dad pray was when he was called on to pray at church. That's a sad commentary. There needs to be daily prayer in our closet, alone with the Lord. That's the main place to pray, alone with the Lord. You call on people to pray at church, how many times do you hear them telling the Lord, "Now, Lord, I've got this weakness I need you help me with." No, we don't usually do that in public. We do that in the closet. So we need to spend some time alone with the Lord and some time in prayer with our families also, not only just at mealtime, but in the family Bible reading time. We need to pray. Peter failed the Lord because Peter failed to pray. Three times is recorded that when Jesus told them to pray, came back, they were asleep. They were asleep. Prayerlessness. Strength comes from prayer. Another thing that attributed to Simon Peter's stumble and fall was he had too much dependency upon the arm of the flesh. The attitude, "I can do it. I can do it." Someone said, there's a fine line between humility and arrogance expressed in Philippians, where Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Arrogance says, "I can do all things," period. Humility says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." That's real humility. Simon Peter, well, when Jesus is arrested in the garden, one of the first things Simon Peter did was took his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Jesus had him put the sword up. Jesus healed the man's broken, cut off ear. That'd be an interesting thing to see also. But he's in there with an arm of flesh. "I can handle it. I can do it. No matter what the devil does, I may die with you, but I will never yield to the devil's temptations." Look at John 18:10. That servant's name was Malchus. 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 Christians say and Christians do some mighty rash things when our fellowship with Jesus is broken. Unkind words and unchristian actions are the result of our carnal life where we're depending on ourselves. "I can do all things through Christ only with His strength." Simon Peter stumbled and fell because he was self-confident. He was prayerless. He depended on the arm of the flesh. But watch as you move on down in the passage of Scripture. And you see in verse 22, chapter 22, verse 54. Peter moves from self-sufficiency to prayerlessness, and now he's going to follow Jesus, but he's going to follow afar off. Jesus has been arrested. He's being taken to the judgment hall. The Apostle John is right there with Jesus, going right into the judgment hall with him. But Simon Peter is following him afar off. Do you know, in your own life, has there been a time when you followed afar off? When others were saying things they shouldn't say, things that were unchristian, and you were just quiet, listened to what they had to say? When I was a young preacher, I noticed a lot of times when I would go into a place of business that either the barber or the manager of the business would say, "Well, come in, preacher!" And I thought, well, that's complimenting me. That wasn't what it was all about. They just wanted everybody to know in there, the preacher's here today. Well, I wondered what was going on before I got there. But I guess I know who did know what was going on. We may hide things from the pastor, We may hide things from other Christians, but we have not hidden a thing from the true and living God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. He knows all. The neighbor lady said one day, as she took her garbage out to the alley, that a neighbor boy was smoking a cigar in the alley. And she said, "Tommy, does your mother know you're smoking that cigar?" "No," he said, "she doesn't know." "Well," she said, "don't you know that God knows?" "Yes, ma'am, but he ain't talking." He may not be talking then about our lives, but he knows exactly what we're doing and where we're going and what we've been up to and what we're planning on getting up to. He knows it all. Peter followed afar off. "Willing to die for Jesus," he said. But now he's fallen afar off. Another thing that attributed to Simon Peter's fall was worldliness in his life. Worldliness. In other words, he was just going along with the crowd of the world. Notice in that passage, it's a chilly night, and they built a fire. And you can only imagine, Jesus is in the judgment hall, and the people who are critical and they're there to see the end are gathered around perhaps a barrel with a fire in it, keeping themselves warm. And the word says, Simon Peter warmed himself at their... I don't know what these men were all saying, but whatever it was probably not complimentary of Jesus. They were there as critics. And Simon Peter is listening to their criticism. And is he saying anything? Is he saying, "Now wait a minute, that is my Savior back there in that judgment hall. I've been with him for 3 years, traveling up and down this land. I love him. I know him." No, he stood there and warmed himself at their fire. We need to be careful how we behave in the presence of the people who don't love the Lord. There are times when we need to speak up. There are times we need to realize we're in the wrong place. We need to be careful where we are, maintain our testimony, Lord. I want you to notice another thing now that happens to Simon Peter as he sits there with that worldly crowd. I think about Psalm 1, where the Bible tells us that we are to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, and we're not to just run around with the devil's crowd and join them. If you're there to witness to them, that's another matter. Many years ago, I was pastoring North Bend, Oregon. North Bend and Coos Bay are twin cities, join each other. And Lily and I had gone to bed. It was around midnight. And I had a phone call from a bartender in Coos Bay. I don't get many calls from bartenders. But he called me about midnight, and he said, "There's a man here in my place of business, and he's drunk." Well, that's usually what people go there for anyway. But he's drunk. And he's handing out gospel tracts with your name on them. And he's telling people, "You need to go over to North Bend and hear Bell Dudley preach. He's done so much for me." Well, I went over to the Blue Moon Tavern that night and got this man and took him home. Now, it wouldn't be bad to be in a tavern giving out tracts. I'm not knocking that. But you need to be sober while you're doing it. His testimony was not good. Well, he hadn't even been saved yet, but I'd been working with him. But we need to be careful how we behave ourselves. And this man right there denying Jesus by his inactivity, by keeping his mouth shut. But he didn't keep it shut very long, because the next step in Simon Peter's stumble and fall is found in Matthew 26 and verse 74. Then began he... This is his third time now that he's denied Jesus. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew." Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And that's what he's done. And the last time, he's done it by cursing and denying that he knows the Lord. Isn't that a shame? Now, Simon Peter has fallen on his face. He's defeated. He could crawl off somewhere into a cave and forget all about Jesus. But I want you to know that my God is the God of another chance. Another chance. Stumble, fall, but you can get up. God will forgive us for our failures. Other people may not, but God will forgive us for our failures. I want you to think about 2 months after this time, approximately. 2 months after this time. Maybe a little less than that. Who is the principal preacher that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached? It is Simon Peter. Who was there that day preaching the gospel when about 3,000 people were saved and baptized in one day? It was Simon Peter. I know some Christians that if they had lived at that time and they had heard Simon Peter is going to preach, well, we're not going to go to church and hear him preach. Did you hear him cuss the other night and deny that he knew Jesus? But when Simon Peter cursed and denied that he knew Jesus, Jesus comes out of the judgment hall at that very moment, and eye met eye. And suddenly, a spiritual dagger, went through the heart of Simon Peter. And the Word of God says he went out and wept bitterly. Is God through with him? Not yet. After the resurrection of Jesus, the women who had been witnesses to the resurrection were instructed by Jesus to go to the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And Mark is the one who records this part. When the lady Mary came to the meeting of the disciples to announce to them, Jesus said to meet him in Galilee, once the disciples, and then inserted these two words, and Peter. I can imagine this. Peter sits there in that group of disciples, and those women are there and saying, Jesus wants you to meet him in Galilee. I can imagine Simon Peter would have probably ducked his head and probably thought, he don't mean me. But he had a special invitation because Jesus was not through with him yet. And he's not through with any of us yet. You know, when that eye of Jesus met the eye of Simon Peter, that was a look of love. It must have registered highly with Simon Peter. The Lord loves me. He's not looking at me in judgment. He's looking at me in forgiveness. It is a forgiving look, but also it's a restoring look. Whatever's happened past in any one of our lives can be in the past. Forgiven, cleansed, and restored to the service of the Lord. But only if we are willing to do so. Only if we are willing to do so. Never forget the passage in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Important verse for every Christian to know. I was saved on a Wednesday night, 17 years old. And a deacon lived across the road from us, and I didn't even know John 3:16 at that time. I was just a newly converted pagan. And Brother Lohorn came across the road the day after I was saved, and he said, I want to encourage you to live for the Lord. And he said, there's some verses you need to memorize. And the first one you need to memorize is 1 Corinthians 10:13. So he showed me where it was because I didn't know how to find it. I wasn't familiar with the Bible. And there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted than what you're able to stand. And Brother Lohorn said, now you just remember this. The devil's going to be after you. But you need to know that you will never have a temptation that no one else has had. Everyone doesn't have the same temptations, but no one ever has one no one else has had. No temptation you push, but such is common to man. But God will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to stand. Now you need to remember that, and tomorrow I'll check and have you quote it back to me. And he did. And I did. And when I finished it, he said, good, now I've got another verse for you. I said, what is it? He said, it's 1 John 1:9. He said, now, I've known you all your life. And he said, I know there will be times when the devil will win and you will be tempted and you will yield to it. And what you need to know how to do is to get up when you fall. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that word confess means to agree with. Speak the same thing. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those two verses are important verses. 1 John 1:9 is a very valuable verse. Sometimes we want to argue with God. Well, I'm not any worse than old Joe or Mary or Harry. But what God wants us to do is to agree with Him about our sin. Not try to justify it, not try to excuse it, but to say, you're right. That's a bad blemish on my Christian character, and to ask God for forgiveness and the confession as we agree with Him. Simon Peter leaves us a lot of good examples. Sometimes on the mountaintop, something at the right time. And sometimes in the valley of despair, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Never forget, in the words of the song, the God of the mountains is also the God of the valleys. And when you're in the valley, God is just the same as He was when you were on the mountaintop. I want you to think about that. I want you to bow your heads with me now. We go to prayer. In a little bit we're going to sing before we go, and it's a good time just to search our hearts. I know one thing about every one of you, and I don't know most of you personally, but there's not a perfect person here in this room. Every one of us has some flaws, and we have to live with that. But God is the strength of our life. And right now is a good time just to ask the Lord, search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And I'm assuming that most everyone here tonight is a Christian. If you're not, don't go away unsaved. But as a Christian, Lord, help me to be a victorious Christian, to live the way you want me to live in this day in which we now live. In Jesus' name, amen.